are important to talk again and make sure that we have it and we actually do something about it. So, well, let's read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Is this on? Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for so much more in salvation that we can work out in our lives, Father God. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us and show us wonderful things, oh God, out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you ready? Let's read together. If you have your own Bible, you can read from your Bible, or you can read from the screen. Okay, 1-3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Ah, it's good. As I was with Moses, oh, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Wow, this is really, really wonderful stuff. I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole point. There's so much in it. The Lord is with you wherever you go. In fact, the Lord is in you. So the Lord has no choice but to go with you wherever you go. Is that right, Christians? Right? We do need to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord inside. But the Lord is with us the whole time, the whole time. God promised unconditional success to Joshua. Isn't that great? No other generation had the same promise like the generation of Joshua. And this is our generation. Our Joshua, Yehoshua, Jesus, Yeshua, all the same name, is leading us to the land of promises. Joshua was trying to lead Israelites to the promised land. Jesus is leading us to the land of promises. And there are thousands of promises from the scriptures. And this is all part of salvation, the great salvation. You know, book of Hebrews saying, do not neglect the great salvation. A lot of people have prayed the salvation prayer, but many Christians, millions around the world, are ignoring the great salvation, which encompasses from the day you pray the salvation prayer to the last breath. And there is an ongoing move upwards from glory to glory. It includes everything, our health, our wealth, our, you know, our emotional, you know, well-being, our spiritual well-being, everything. This is a progression of great, great blessing whereby we become victorious in life. Don't you, I mean, wouldn't you be so interested So excited to hear the Lord saying to you directly, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Hey, but this actually is the word of the Lord to everyone, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We do have enemies, right? We have people come against us. We have demons come against us, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And for the rest of your life, no one will overcome you. They can come against you, but you will not be overcome by anyone or anything, but you will overcome. That promise is for every Christian. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. That's based on what? That promise of unconditional victory is based on the presence of God. Just as I've been with Moses, so I'll be with you. So if God is with Moses, what made Moses great is not, you know, his white hair or special stuff that he carried or sandal, nothing. What made Moses undefeatable? Moses walked into Egypt with a staff and on a donkey on his own. But he had the word of the Lord. He had the presence of the Lord. And he walked out with 3 million Jews. We plundered Egyptians. All the gold, all the silver, all the good things, they carried them all with them, and they walked out. Millions of them walked out of Egypt. That's called authority. It's the word of God in him. Presence of God was with Moses. So Moses was undefeatable. And God is saying to Joshua, hey, my presence is with you. Just as I have been with Moses, I'll be with you. Therefore, no human being, no demon, no power in hell can have power over you. You need to know this. Amen? Do you believe that you have a very powerful person living inside of you? More powerful. He created the whole universe. Amen? Amen, amen. That's based on the presence of God. So when we have the presence of God, we are just as undefeatable. Now, is there a condition to keep that presence of God burning and alive in our lives? What did the Lord say to Joshua? Just one thing, one condition. The function of the word in his life, right? Yeah. Meditate in the law of God day and night. It's the word of God. Say, fill your mind with the word of God, Joshua. When you fill your mind, meditate, think about the word of God, and that becomes your inner reality. And then you begin to speak. Let the word of God not depart from your mouth, so that there is an alignment with the word of God in your mind, coming into your mouth, your words, your talk, your conversation, inner conversation, monologue, dialogue, is shaped and aligned with the thought life that is based on the word of God. Then you action. You will not go from left or the right, but you will be careful to observe all that is written. Jesus said the same thing. If you love me, you will keep my word. If my word is in you, you will ask what you will. He will do it for you. It's the same thing. He's saying, keep your mind filled with the word. Be careful to observe everything that God has spoken. Entire word. Let word master you, and then you will have freedom and power like you've never known before in your life. It's the only condition. Let your mouth, let your mind align with the word of God. And it's not that easy. It's not that easy, because it's a real battlefield. This guy was living in battlefield. Every day you have to face enemies. You have to fight, literally, with swords and things. And when you're in a battlefield, you are under pressure. And how much time do you have to go through the law every morning, every night? You are watching the battle unfold. You're seeing Ai, Jericho, you see all these things. You have external reports and so on. It is very easy to be dictated, get your counsel, get your thinking crammed in, shaped by the things that are happening around you because you're in the battlefield. Do you think that battle to not depart from the Word of God was a just as a strong battle than the battle outside? Would you say so? He's a busy man. Military man is very busy. He has to conquer the land in a short time. He doesn't have all the time. He doesn't have all the, it's not like a leisurely word. This is a battle. Battle to meditate, read, have his thought life shaped by the Word of God. How many are busy? We're all busy. We are busy, 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 busy. It's a battle to engage with the Word of God, that there is continual shaping and meditating going on. As we engage the Word of God in our mind and heart and our mouth, we get shaped continually. And that's what's important. We are not perfect. None of us are perfect. We don't have to be perfect, but we do need to be continually molded and shaped by the Word of God and progressing the Word of God to keep the presence of God alive, real. Is that true? Amen? Okay. Key is God is saying, Joshua, I love Moses. I love you. I just love you beyond you can imagine. Just stay blessable. That's all. I will bless you. You will overcome. Just stay blessable by stay aligned with my word. That's all you have to do. In fact, that's all we have to do. That's where the fight is. Stay blessable. We say Abraham's blessing has come upon us. You read the scriptures. Abraham's blessing has come upon the Gentiles by faith. And we say, whoa, yeah, I'm going to get more cows and more cattle and so on. Saying, look at what was Abraham's blessing. To be blessed, God said he will give him great name. He will make nation out of him. And Abraham will be the blessing to the nations. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. He will be the channel. He will be the, like a mirror of God. Whoever spits on that mirror image of God, get the spit back. Whoever blesses gets a blessing back. That's God's highest blessing. So when we say Abraham's blessing came upon us, we are not just saying, I'm going to get more cows. It's yes, God will bless us financially and every way, but God means much more. God wants us to make us blessing to the nations. The whole nations can come to blessing of Abraham through us. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where we are headed. And Abraham went through a process. At the age of 75, God called him and said, I bless you. When he had Isaac, he was 100. It was a whole process. He became a blessing. Amen. That's what we are going through. I'll probably skip this. 1 Corinthians, you know, there's so much parallel going on in the Old Testament and New Testament. When you have time, look at Psalm 78. It talks about the salvation of God. It includes everything. It's a prophetic history of Exodus in Psalm 78. Paul reflects that and says, you know what? We are in the same boat. Christians, you are no different. They've gone through all these physical experiences. You're going through the spiritual substance of what they've gone through. They were delivered by the Passover lamb. They went through the Red Sea, which was water baptism. They were also baptized in the cloud. You know what baptism in the cloud is? Holy Spirit baptism. They had all this stuff. They experienced God at one point, but most of them were carcasses because God wasn't pleased with most of them. They couldn't enter into the promised land. He's saying, Christians, take that example and warning. Make sure that you enter in to the fullness of the salvation God has provided for you. Don't stop short. There's so much more that God has for you. Okay? I want to talk about the lampstand. Last Wednesday, we had a real great study about lampstand. There is a real message there. Lampstand. You know lampstand? Menorah, right? Lampstand with the seven branches. When God called Israel, out from Egypt, and now Moses went up 40 days and 40 nights and had a visitation, or, you know, face-to-face meeting with the Lord. The glory of God came down, and God spoke to him and gave him mainly two things: the law, how to live, and then how to build tabernacle, how to build lampstand. Can you read Exodus 25, 31 to 40 is how to build the golden lampstand. But just take one verse. He says, you shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its balls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece. Very interesting. What does lampstand represent when God says, this is the place I'm going to meet with you? As soon as you enter into the holy place, the lampstand shines its light. That's where you minister to the Lord. What does that represent? It represents a number of things. Well, it represents Israel's call to be the light of the Gentiles, right? It represents God's presence that is in the midst of them. So long as you have the presence of God in the midst of your camp, you will be victorious. But if the presence of God leaves, it doesn't matter how many army you've got, you're going to crumble from within. So it's so important that day and night, the light must not go out. Priest's job is to take care of the lampstand. But this lampstand represents the presence of God, particularly the manifest presence of God in the midst of his people. And God's call for Israel to be the shining light to all the world. Now you come to New Testament. There is a lampstand in the book of Revelation. Jesus walks among in the midst of lampstands. And what is the lampstand? Churches. It's also the church. So lampstand represents God's people, Israel, and the church. It's the church. Jesus has put the lampstand to shine out his presence, his manifest presence, his truth in the midst of darkness. And he's saying, if lights go out, I'm going to remove it. But God sets his lampstand in the world. God set you and me in the world as a lampstand. Hallelujah. We are bright, shining light to the world. And we are also giving off fragrance. We are giving off light of God. Wherever we go, there is this spirit in us that's producing spiritual light, some often invisible to the naked eyes, but visible in the spirit. You have Christ in you. Wherever you go, you bring light to the world. That is, if we continue to walk in his ways. Now, how is this lampstand made? Actually, it's interesting as well. In Matthew, when Jesus said, Israel, church. Okay. And also Jesus. Jesus is a shining light, all right? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Am I in the right place? Yes, yes, okay. Anyway, I'm a bit confused with the thing. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. City set on a hill shall not be hidden and cannot be hidden. No, they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a, where? Lampstand. And give light to all who are in the house. Jesus was talking to his followers. That's the same word, lampstand. Exactly the same word. Now, this lampstand, how is it made? Interesting. It's made of one pure gold and one solid, one piece. You don't have all these, you know, holes and then you click it in, right? Seven branches strung out like that. It's just the whole thing is one. There's no parts that you put in and then take out. How easy is it to have a single solid metal? It's a unity. Whole thing is a unity. You can't put on anything, right? Again, remember, this represents us, the church, and our call to be the light in the midst of darkness. How God constructed, there is no attachment. Seven branches like that. It's not easy to build like that. It's highly skilled work, so it took spirit of wisdom. It's the first time God put his spirit of wisdom, and then they can construct it. It's fashioned out of gold. What does gold represent? Divine nature. Did you know that if you're going to hammer something out like that, starting from one lump of metal, that's a pretty hard one. It'll just break. Only gold can do it. There's no other metal that can do it. Gold is the most malleable and ductile. Malleable is the ability to take shape by hammering. And then ductile is once you keep changing the shape, you know how some metals, if you keep changing the shape, it'll just break off. It loses the strength. But gold doesn't. In fact, it's so amazing. I just found out, you know, the other day, 1 ounce of hammered gold is like, 1 ounce is what, about 30 gram or something, very small. You can make a 5 square centimeter sheet, or it can be strewn out into a string 80 kilometer long. That's incredible, isn't it? 80 kilometer long, or you can string it out 0.00127 millimeter wire, or 400 times thinner than your hair. It's like, it's incredible. God, what does it represent? It's the nature of God that can be hammered into shape in us. He hammers it. He can take it. You can take it, right? Hammers into shape. It's a hammered work. So when God says, Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, he's saying, I'm going to build my lampstand. I'm going to take a gold in you. I can see a gold in you. People can't see it. They can only see this and that. I see a gold in you, a nature of you, that can be shaped into a beautiful, beautiful lampstand, intricate working of God. They can set the fire of his presence. And I'm going to shape it. He's saying, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. He's saying, I'm going to hammer my people into wonderful, beautiful shape. They can take the glory of my presence in your midst. Amen? Right. That's wonderful, isn't it? So, Lord, we welcome you to do that. He is doing that. He's building his lampstand. Lampstand is a picture of the last day church. Book of Revelation was also the first day church, but also the last day church. And the church of the history is saying, I'm going to shape my people so that they can carry my glory. What is the hammer of God? What is the thought? Unbreakable. It's the word of God. What is the hammer? It's the word of God. Jeremiah 23, Jesus, the Lord says, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So how does God shape the church? By his hammer. Jesus is going, not with the old Thor thing, but he will shape us. Hosea talks about how I've hewn my people by my prophets, because they were speaking the word that shapes people, individuals, and Israel, people as a group. It says only the word of God can hammer us into shape so that we can bear the light of his glory to the nations. Amen? Only the word of God. There is a Russian proverb. It says, the same hammer that shatters a glass can forge an iron. So are we an iron? Yes. When the hammer of God comes, when the word of God, hammer of God comes, some things in us that are glass breaks, and it's good. You throw them out. Because when we first get it, it's like, you know, when you first take the gold out, it's kind of funny shape, and it's got all the other stuff, glass and all that. all mixed. So you gotta hammer it and take out all this stuff that can break, because gold will not break. It doesn't break. It just, it's so malleable and ductile. It can take any shape as long as you keep hitting it in the right way. And the Lord always hits us in the right way with the word, right? Shape us into a shape that looks like a golden lampstand. Like that. That's a lot of process from the lump. But that's glorious. Because when God shapes his church, he's going to put the fire on it, and it'll have the presence of God burning in the midst of darkness. Now, what is the process of hammering? How does the Word of God hammer us into shape? I'm talking about, you know, collectively, but also individually, your experience. It's found in 2 Timothy. And it goes, starts from lump and comes up with that. We looked at this 2 weeks ago. All scriptures, can we read together? Given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that word, inspiration? It means more than God feels, oh, I feel inspired. It's just the very extracts of God's breath. It's exhale, the breath going out. Every part of the Word of God has the breath of God trapped in it, if I can say it. Physically, it's the black marks on the white paper. But when you read, when your mind begins to go after the thoughts of God that have been captured in black and white, you get breath of God over you, Spirit of God. And then it comes in four stages. Starts with doctrine. Doctrine literally means teaching. And then it goes into reproof, which means rebuke. And it goes into correction, which means we repent or we turn to God. Correction, that's a hammering thing into shape. And instruction doesn't really bring the full force. It literally means training. There's a person who is trained in an army, and the person who is very strong, same age, but not trained, are very different when you fight. Two of them fight. Okay, great. Who is that? The two guys fighting in MMA and the real boxer? One is not a real boxer. One is a real boxer. So my money is on Mayweather. When you have a trained people, martial artist, and then you have a very strong untrained people, it's just no contest. Training. God is saying, I'm going to train my people for war. He's going to train us. We're not just civilians. You get a little scratch and go, you know, you take 2 weeks off healing. No. Army is very different, right? You think differently. You're tough. You're strong because you have resources on the inside. It comes from training. Rambo can survive in the jungle and, you know, turn the tide. America was all losing. And just Rambo, the trained guy, comes up. And on his own, he just turned the tide around. I mean, that's a movie. But what training does. And God is saying, how many wants to be trained by God in righteousness? Isn't that wonderful? It takes hard work. It takes, yes. But the training, you don't get training from directly from there to there. It's a stage. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Training in the word of truth comes in the stages. And when somebody is trained by the word of God in fullness, God says, you come to a place where you're complete. Lacking nothing. Oh, like that. Complete means mature. You come to a place of maturity. For every good work, you're equipped. You have enough resources, wisdom of God, strength, joy inside, not to crack under pressure. You are ready to do all good works because you're trained. And then training is done by the word of God. That's the hammer of God. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. Let the hammer do its work on this church. Let the hammer do its work on me, on you, so that we will attain instruction. It's a very interesting proverb. It says, reproof of instruction are the way of life. You want to go into the way of life, you need reproof. I need reproof. If I never get reproof, never get correction, I'm heading into error. Is that true? He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. Instruction, the training. You're on the way of God's training. You're in the way of life. But he who refuses correction goes astray. When we refuse the hammer of God, it's the hammer of God coming to us, and we refuse it, then something breaks. But when you say yes to the hammer of God, it may feel, ouch, you will not break, I guarantee you. God knows what he's doing. He's just pushing you and putting you and shaping you into a beautiful shape so he can put the fire of God's manifest glory on us. He's doing it on a worldwide church scale. Amen? And we are in it. If you sign up, we're in it. Praise God. And our Lord knows what he's doing. You know what? I'll just move on. Yeah, I'll go through again. Remember logos and rhema difference? What's logos? Written word of God. What's the rhema? Spoken word of God. Logos is the entirety of God's word, fixed in heaven forever. Okay, the entirety of your word is truth. That's logos. But rhema is the part, small part out of the logos, entire word of God. God takes a little verse and speak it to you today. That's rhema. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that is proceeding out of his mouth, it's like a food to you. It's got power, yeah, to do things. What's the characteristics of logos? Logos is general. Whenever you read the scriptures, it's general. It's unchanging. It never changes. You can't make Bible say something. It's not saying tomorrow. Because of circumstances, what God said, God means. What he means, what he said, it will not change. He says not one jot or one tittle will change until all is fulfilled. It never changes. It's complete. Amen? We don't have to look for some another, you know, cave and some special parchment. Word of God is complete. And it's universal. Application is the word of God applies to Middle East, to Israelites, to Gentiles, to Jews, and, you know, six-year-old. It doesn't change. But the rhema is very specific, isn't it? When God speaks to you, God takes a little portion and speaks to you. It's very specific. It's time-sensitive. When God says, do this, and you wait for 5 years and come back and say, Lord, what did you say? He moved on. You have to collect manna every morning. And then after that day, expiry date is gone, it rots. Right? So when God speaks a rhema, it's like a fresh bread. You got to eat that. Then, you got to act on it. Then, when God says, now, you do something now, there's a time limit. If you drag on so long, the word of God is stale. It loses power to execute. It's incomplete. Because it's only a small part, and it's very, very personal. Just because I got the rhema word for myself, for my situation, I can't tell you. You do the same thing. You know, God, you know, for example, Jesus said, wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. You get healed. And the person comes and says, hey, I got healed. You go do the same thing. Everybody goes to Siloam, wash their eyes. The effect is not the same. You have to get personal word. How do you get logos? Diligence, right? You just gotta read. You gotta do it. It's the library of entire 66 books in the scriptures. You have to actually be diligent to get it. What about revelation? What about Rhema? It comes by revelation, illumination, waiting on the Lord, meditation on the scriptures. And usually, when you get it, you get a thought or a cluster of thoughts. It's not the entire thing. You're not thinking about the entire thing. When you're reading the scriptures, a little portion jumps up, like, you know, Edwin, yesterday in his private time, the thing just jumped up and hit him between his eyes, and I go, ah, I see it, I see it, I see it, this is it, this is it. So that is Rhema. And you get it through the Holy Spirit, and it's very specific. What is the emphasis usually? Logos, you emphasize on the breath with entire library of books. What about Rhema? Depth. You have a portion, you're going to go deeper. What's the hidden meaning? You go deeper. Lord, show me. You go deeper and deeper. Now, what does it produce? Logos produces good understanding. It gives us good framework. Sometimes people call it theology, right? Good framework. It gives us understanding. Whereas Rhema gives us faith or insight. It's very revelatory. When the Rhema comes, you suddenly see something you haven't seen before. Or it gives us faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing from Rhema, Word of God. So when you get Logos, it's normally very instructive. When you get Rhema, it's directive. So how does that work? You want to go up the stairs? Good understanding and grasp of Logos give you safety guardrail. It keeps you safe when you have entire good understanding. It gives you wisdom to apply Rhema. Rhema gives you faith. An example is like Peter stepping out of the boat. Peter said, Lord, is that you? Jesus said, come. He jumped out on that word come and he walked on the water. Okay, Jesus said to Peter, come, I should also jump in the swimming pool. And I go, shoo. I know this really sincere pastor, is it? Many years ago, he got all the pastors together. He said, I'm going to pray, I'm going to walk on the water. I believe in miracle, God is good. You know, Peter did it, you know, greater works than this. And quoting all the scriptures, convinced God will do it. In front of all the other pastors, walked into the swimming pool, walked right into the swimming pool. He said, it didn't work. Because Jesus didn't say, come. We can't just, somebody else did it, I should do it too. And go and get a big loan and, you know, do all kinds of crazy things. It takes Rhema. But Rhema produces faith to do something extraordinary. But you actually need a lot of logos. You need understanding to be able to differentiate the two and have wisdom in applying logos. Sometimes now, when it gets there, it's a bit confusing. You don't always know, is this logos or is this Rhema? You've read a scripture, you feel really inspired. You know, is God saying me, do this, or there is a little bit of this and that. And in fact, you get instruction from Rhema. And you get some direction from logos. Some things are pretty, you know, God says, forgive. Now, you don't have to hear God, thunder from God, you know. God says, forgive. I heard God says, forgive. Until then, I'm not going to forgive. Can you do that? No. You have to. It's a directive as well, right? So it's not always clear cut. But there is something that happens as we take on logos and wait on God. It's like water turning into wine. At some point, things begin to water. What tastes like water tastes like wine. There is a change that is happening between the word of God and my spirit. And faith is produced. What does that produce? It requires obedience. When you read the logos, you gotta obey. Isn't it? It requires faith. When God gives you Rhema, you gotta believe and act. Faith. I mean, it's kind of same thing. It leads to, what does it lead? Logos leads to character, fruit. Rhema leads to power, releases power in your life. Which one is more important? Which one is more important? Both are important. Which one do you like more? Do you like faith or do you like obedience? Do you like stepping out of the boat or, you know, theology? Which one is more laborious, yeah? Do you like taste of water or do you like taste of wine? Because our tendency, okay, some drinkers here, no drinkers. Nobody was responding. I like wine. Thing is, once you taste power, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. It was rhema. And the disciples go, wow. And Jesus said, you speak to the mountain and be removed. Mountain gets uprooted and be removed. Angel brought the word to Mary and said, you know, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. You'll be with a child. It just happened. It's the rhema word. Miracle take place here. Miracle. Direction. Voice of God. Angels. Power. Excitement. All happens here. So we have tendency to go for wine, right? That's what we want. That's what we like. So there is whole build-up. Shift in the body of Christ, you gotta get the rhema. I gotta get the rhema. Logos is not important, get the rhema. If you all get logos and never get rhema, it's kind of boring, isn't it? But we wanna get rhema after rhema after rhema after rhema, word for the day, and don't have a good framework. What happened? We missed that. And fall off the rail at some point and get some strange rhema. I heard a lot of people getting some strange rhema. The Lord said, you know, borrow a lot of money and go for holiday. I'll pay for it. You'll come back broke. Don't have ability to tell the difference between the rhema and logos. It's like, you know, what I hope I want to hear, what I really want to hope, I like to hear, they just flick through the Bible and go, oh, that's it. Well, I jumped out. That's rhema. Boy likes a girl, so yeah, she's the one, and you know, you read a scripture there about wedding in Cana. This is it, God spoke, she's the one, and find like she says, no, go, oh, God. So we living in this tension, right? There's a need for balance, would you say? Because we've actually shifted quite a bit. It's really important that we understand importance of rhema, hearing from God. We hear from the Spirit. And every time you hear rhema, God backs it up. Miracles released. But you do need a lot of testing. Tendency is that people are not spending enough time in logos, but we all like straight whiskey, wine, rhema, every single day. I want God to tell me something exciting every single day. I want to do something special every single day. I want God to answer all my questions, longings, and desires and every single day from every page I read. And we get into error. People who do not spend enough time soaking in logos but always looking for quick rhema. Quick rhema. I got 15 minutes, Lord. I want rhema from you. End up with insufficient discernment and wisdom to properly apply rhema when it comes. More importantly, character training necessary to carry God's presence long term. Remember, Joshua's battle was soaking his mind in the word of God. Not all of them were rhema. Law. Have you read through the law? Leviticus? Numbers? All the names are like a phone book. Phone book, like who bigger who. You got to build like this, and, you know, this is how you sacrifice and all that. I've read this before. It's coming out again. And you just skip everything and read just one line. You know, do you remember the Jabez prayer? In between a lot of repeats, Jabez prayed, Lord, take away the pain, and God answered it. You just read that one and skip three chapters. Go to the next one and go, oh, I got the rhema. This is the rhema. Because we are hunting for rhema, instant rhema. And when we do that, we do not grow in wisdom to discern. And you're not allowing the full range of hammer of God to work on you. Where do you get more hammer? Rhema or logos? Logos. God says, you know, do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. That's a logos. But that's not rhema. It doesn't feel good. I'm going to just keep it away. I'm going to just get the rhema. Power, power. Well, when we neglect logos, power leaks. You don't have power. We got to uphold the whole logos. Right? I told you this before, right? Somebody said, Holy Spirit finger. I prayed, Lord, show me the word today. And it was Judas hanged himself. Let me try again. Go and do likewise. What you are about to do, do it quickly. So you can't live Christian life like that. We got to actually shift back a little bit, right? Sometimes God in his mercy, he sends us direct rhema, and direct rhema is like correction, okay? And then we are not listening. And then God actually helps us by sending his rhema word in a form of person, John Smith, to bother me. Why is this person John Smith? Actually, I found out. You know what Smith means? It means hammer. Very common name. John is beloved. So God sends his beloved hammer to hammer. You're not going to listen to my hammer? When I talk in a really nice tone, you're not listening to what I'm saying? I'm going to give you some object lesson. I'm going to impersonate my hammer into this person, John Smith, who will do more than just speaking to you. He will do some more stuff until you get this hammer of God. Let me give you one hammer. One hammer is the will of God. What is the will of God? What is the will? Oh God, I need the word for today. Today, I'll give you straight out of Logos that applies to everyone. Rhema word. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen? Pray always. In everything actually can also be translated everyone. Did you know that? So when God sends John Smith, beloved hammer from heaven, what are you going to do? Lord, take this stone away from me. Or, Lord, I thank you. This is your hammer. You want to make me a blessing. You are shaping me into a candlestick, golden candlestick, stuff that need to break away the glass parts that are, you know, part of me. You, Lord, break it away and put me into the right shape so that I can carry your glory. Let the fire of God burn like John the Baptist. Let me be the bright, shining light for this generation. Then you gotta welcome the hammer of God. Sometimes through the word, sometimes from people. We thank God for every person. See, when you start thanking God for someone that's bothering you, they go away the next season. When you fight them, they go away, and another person with different face but the same kind of person comes back into your life and bother you. Is that true? Different face but same person. It's like, oh, are they twins? Like, you know, they think the same. They have the same language. They bother me the same way. So, where do you get the hammer? You get the hammer actually not from rhema, from the whole logos. Rhema, logos, the whole thing. Whole thing, the whole deal. All right? So, my question again, I asked you 2 weeks ago. Do you have a reading plan for the whole world? Not just, you know, little Philippians and little promises and then skip Leviticus, Numbers, the phone book of the Bible, and genealogies, Matthew chapter 1, names, skip all that. Or do you have a plan to love the whole world? Because when Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, they had to eat the whole lamb, whole lamb. They can't leave anything out. And they had to eat the whole thing as they were leaving. Eat the whole thing. Don't just eat the nice, chewy ear part, cartilages, and leave, you know, other parts, because we will be weaker for that. Scripture has how many books? 66 books. It's got 1,189 chapters and 31,171 verses, 800 and 7,361 words. That's a lot of volume if you're trying to, I'm going to really love the Word of God. I'm going to just go through the whole thing. And you really get ambitious. I'm going to read like 30 chapters a day and you give up in 2 weeks. It's a lot, right? If you read one chapter, just one chapter a day, just one chapter, it takes just over 3 years and you will go through the whole Bible. How many think that you're going to live more than 3 years from now? Like when I go to heaven, I want to say, Jesus, I really loved your word. I read every corner, every bit, everything that you've said. Seriously, take it seriously. Every single bit. And not leave things out. Like, you know, when Nathan likes just meat, he doesn't like any veggies. And we always, like parents, Nathan, eat the veggie. It's good for you. It's good for you. It's good for your God. And he just go for the meat and meat and the meat and meat. He's like a priest. priest family, just go for the meat. Steaks. But you have to eat the whole thing if you really, you know, care. If you care for your own soul. Right? Eat the whole thing. If you actually read, if you are ambitious, 3 chapters per day, and only during weekends, 4 chapters, Saturday and Sunday, you read the whole book in less than a year. Less than a year. Now, I am not asking people to just read through quickly. Speed reading. I'm done. That's not what I'm talking about. You allow the Lord to speak to you. Sometimes 3 chapters is quite a bit, actually. I like small portions, a chapter, half a chapter at a time, because I want it to sit on me. I actually want the water to turn into wine. But you also do need to progress. Don't just stay in a little portion all your life. You do actually need to cover, because that's where you get wisdom, balance, insight, understanding. So there we go. Once you're done, from a lamp, we're going to look like that. Beautiful, shining. You see the light reflected from there? Once the fire comes on, my, this is unbeatable. This is your life. This is my life. This is the church in the last days. When you look closer, this is a zoom up. You know, there are how many branches? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 branches, and it's got how many of these round thing? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And the middle part has 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I probably can't see it. Each of the round thing, it's called actually written in the shape of almond tree. Almond. You like almond nuts? I ate some almond nuts yesterday. Beautiful. Almond shape. It's got the base or cup, and it's got the knob, ornamental knob, and it's got the flower. It's in 3 parts. 3 parts going like that. In fact, Jeremiah, the Lord said, what do you see? Jeremiah said, almond tree. I am watching over my word to perform it. Okay? It represents God's faithfulness to keep his word from his part, but we need. How many parts are on each of the branches? 3 times 3. Is 9? 9, 9, 9. How many? 12. 3 times 4. Do you follow? And again, 9, 9, 9. So how many of them are all together? This one is 39. This one is 27. All up, how many? 66 books. Amen. Do you like it? I like it. I'm not looking for another book. I'm not looking for, like, you know, Gospel of Thomas. 66 books. All there. You absorb all the 66 books, you're going to get all seven branches coming up out of you. All seven. What are the seven branches represent? It's the Spirit of God manifesting in your life. Isaiah 11, 1, 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord will all come upon you like that. Fire is burning now. That was the Spirit that was upon Jesus, the branch. And that's the Spirit of the Lord speaking in the first person. It's the voice of God. God speaks in first person in your life. You're going to have the voice of God continually coming to you. You're going to get wisdom and understanding. They go together in pairs. You need wisdom. You need understanding. Wisdom is the application of understanding. You need counsel and might. If you have might and no counsel, you're going to do silly things. If you got counsel but no might, you can't implement anything because you got no might. Spirit of counsel and might will come upon you. If you have a lot of knowledge of God, the revelation of God, you need fear of God because knowledge puffs up. Apostle Paul had abundance of revelation, so God gave him the thorn to keep him balanced. So you need the fear of the Lord that Jesus had. All seven will come upon us. Isn't that fantastic? No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life so long as we are walking with him. Allow the word to continue to do its work. It's not perfection. You don't have to be like up there like Apostle Paul. What's important is we are progressing. We are being shaped. We are allowing the hammer of God to work on us, shape us in our lifetime. Right? I gave you some, the Bible reading plans at the back. I think it's all gone. But there are many. You get your own, but it's important. You want to eat the whole word? Amen? Whole lamb, Jesus. What is the thing that God can bless? Only thing that God can truly bless is what is in the image of his son. We cannot ask God to bless something that is out of shape. Not for long. We can ask God to patch things up. So when we are allowing the hammer to do its work, blessing will overtake us, throw us down on the ground, put its neck, and jump all over us. You like that? It's a blessing of God. You're going to walk in and get blessed. Walk out and go, stop! You get blessed. You run into the far country and his blessing of God still overtakes you, punches you in the stomach. I get blessed again. Because what? You are blessing. We become the blessing and the blessing flows through us. Praise the Lord. That was God's plan. And it is. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to stand up and sing. Sunny, could you lead us in that the last chorus? How great thou art. How great thou art. Going to sing, but this morning we were praying and Edwin said the same thing as well. I feel like, you know, the presence of God here to declare, to remove mountains. Like that? We're going to sing and worship God first and we're going to make a declaration. Let the word of God go out. What is your mountain? Now, if it is John Smith, the beloved hammer of God, you can't get it out. Then you got to ask God for understanding. But there are some enemies. Things that the mountain that's standing on the way. What did God say to Zerubbabel? in Zechariah is that you have this mountain. You shout grace, grace, and the thing will move. And it did. Powerfully, powerfully moved. Can't get into it. God just moved the mountain. Jesus is life. He's a resurrection. He's a mountain remover. And we're going to speak grace to it. We're going to sing and connect with God. And just you ask the Lord. See if it is a mountain that needs to be spoken to. Or whether it's a John Smith you got to thank God for.
Mountains grandeur.
Let's just declare by faith, believe God's gonna turn our prayer into rhema and do miracle. Amen. Who's got any muscular pain right now? Muscular pain, any muscular pain? Courtney, let's pray for Courtney right now. Let's ask the Lord. In fact, maybe Julie can, anyone who wants to pray for her, just declare God's rhema. Speak grace, grace. Let it be removed in Jesus' name. Who else needs healing? We're going to pray for healing. We're going to declare God's grace. For a miracle. It's the Spirit of God, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. He can do impossible. Let's believe God for impossible. Amen. Father, we speak grace. We rebuke every pain, every muscular pain. In the name of Jesus, be gone. We speak grace, grace to it. Be gone. Let your healing virtue flow right now into every part of body. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you move around? Check things out. Has the Lord touched you? Open up a floor for prayer as well, but you believe God, eh? You speak to it. I'm gonna speak for the situation mountain to move as well, okay? So why don't you just visualize whatever the mountain that is causing trouble in the workplace, impossible, difficult workplace. We're gonna speak grace. How about that? We thank God for John Smith. We're going to speak the mountain to be removed. Anything the devil has put into our heart, into our pathway, we're going to speak it to. Go in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together, 1, 2, 3, grace, grace. How about that? Are you going to speak with conviction? God's given you authority. Amen. Let's speak. 1, 2, 3, grace, 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 grace. You name it, whatever it is, name it. Silently, be removed in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Opposition, be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Sickness, be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're going to just pray for some people here.